I want to describe something today about you. I want to describe something that is about you that you may not be aware of, you may not see, you may not feel, you may not think, but it's true about you. I remember, and I've said this story several times before, when we were in Israel. I've been to Israel now 4 or 5 times. It is a, magical is not the right word because it's a holy, amazing experience to go to Israel. And I hope that everyone here has an opportunity one day to go there and be there. But I remember us going through the old city of Jerusalem, the walled city of Jerusalem, and we met at a place and had lunch together, our whole team. And our tour guide, who is a Messianic Christian, said, "Did you notice what was happening as you were walking through the city?" I thought, "Well, no, I didn't really notice what was happening as walking through." He said, "People are staring at you." I thought, "Well, what? I mean, because we look like American tourists, we all got backpacks. I mean, what's the deal?" "No, no, no." He said, "You don't see it, but they do. And I see it. You guys are glowing. You're incandescent. There's a glow coming from you. There's a richness coming. There's something different about you. And that difference is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit." And this morning, I want to remind you, just like us walking through the old city, the walled city of Jerusalem, you walk and go to your workplace tomorrow, to your classroom, to all the places that you're going today and tomorrow, you're glowing. You're radiant. It's not really anything that you did, it's something that God did. And that's what I want to describe to you today, that you are radiant. You are radiant. You're a radiant person. Here's the definition for radiant. It means to send out light, to shine, or to glow brightly. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah. That's who you are. You're a person who sends out light, you shine, and you glow brightly. Some of the synonyms are bright, illuminated, luminous, brilliant, glowing, shimmering. That's a pretty good idea. You're shimmering today. Robert's talking about that angel came and tore the veil from the top to the bottom. Yes. He was shimmering when he got there, right? And you too are shimmering. You're ablaze, gleaming, sparkling. I didn't wonder for you that you just sparkle. You don't see it, but others do. And this morning, my job is not to get only to get you to see that's who you are, but start believing that's who you are. You have supernatural favor on your life because you have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you got the Spirit of God living in you, and He is able to shine through you, even when you're having a bad hair day. That's exactly right. Last week, I talked to you about being the light of the world. I just want to review those two passages again because they're really lovely. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "You're the light of the world. You're like a city set on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." And He says, "No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house." And since you're glowing, you might as well know that when you walk into a room, you bring light into that room.
That's right.
I love the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, where the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I love it that before the beginning began, He was there in the beginning. And the Bible says that the earth was without form. It was void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the darkness. Now here's what's wonderful about all that is. That same truth exists today. There are places here in this city, not far from where we are right now, where there is darkness, where there is brokenness, where there are places where chaos rules and reigns. But the moment you walk into that place, just like God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, you bring light into that darkness. You bring it wherever you go. Sometimes you walk into that place, you feel the darkness, you have a tendency to want to back out. Uh-oh. Want to back away from it. But that's not why you were created. You were created just to step right on into the middle of, "Hey, everybody, I am here. Right? That's what you've been called to do, is light. Because guess what? Darkness cannot overcome light, but light overcomes darkness. You're the light of the world, he says. He says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Father in heaven. That's when you know the light is really shining. It's when people don't see you, they see God. They see God. Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2. He says, now look, do everything without complaining and arguing. I harped on this last week. I talked about this last week because I made you repeat the word everything several times. You remember that? Very childish way to do, y'all. I know that, but I wanted to get the point across that you and me, everything that we do, we should do without complaining and without arguing. Sometimes we have to do and get to do things we don't really want to do. But even in that, we should do them without complaining and without arguing. So why? Why should we do it? So he goes on to say, he says, so that no one can criticize you. Therefore, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Yeah. That's your job. That's your job description. You don't even have to try. You don't have to fix your hair. You should brush your teeth, but you don't have to. You don't have to do any of that stuff. I mean, you are ready just like you are. When you wake up in the morning, you are a terror to the darkness. You're a terror. I mean, what do you need to do? Wake up, put that one foot on the floor, put another foot on the floor, and say, look out, devil. I'm alive and well today. And everywhere I go, I'm going to be pushing back the darkness, pushing back the darkness, pushing back the darkness. Why? Because I have been translated from the darkness right into the light. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you. Look, we're going to talk today from the book of Galatians. You bring your Bible today, or your electronic Bible, or your phone with a Bible on it, or your pad, or whatever it is you use. And we're going to talk about the book of Galatians, because it's in the book of Galatians that Paul gives us multiple reminders to shine. Multiple reminders to stay radiant. He plants this church in Galatia. Galatia is sort of a region. It's not a city or place. It's sort of a region in what is now eastern Turkey. And so he plants the church. He establishes the gospel in Galatia. And then he leaves. And once he's been away a year or so, he gets word back. And the word that he gets back is the Galatians are beginning to go rogue. The church is beginning to disintegrate. You see, it used to be established around the gospel of grace. But there's been some people who creeped in there and have now convinced the Galatians that it is better to live by works than it is by grace. And so the whole book of Galatians is Jesus attacking the gospel of works and him making a defense for the gospel of grace. That's what this is all about. And so it's his strongest attack on the gospel of works in the Bible. It's his greatest defense of the gospel of grace. It is his reminder that you and me, that we have been transformed from darkness to light. Therefore, stay radiant. Yeah. Stay radiant. Turn to your neighbor and say, now stay radiant. Amen. Let's begin in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. So, hey, he begins by saying, let me help you understand something here. Is that this gospel is all around about Jesus Christ, and that Jesus has given himself for our sins. You know, we talked about communion this morning, you know, that we should remember his death until he comes, that we should celebrate that death until he comes. Wow, that's kind of weird and morbid. But really, when you think about it, it's just what Robert said earlier this morning. It is the fact that Jesus died vicariously. He died in our place, holy, without sin, paying the price, paying the ransom, paying what we owed God and could never pay. Yeah. And so he wants to remind us in the book of Galatians here that it's about Jesus. Jesus who gave himself vicariously for our sins, sacrificially for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. What does that mean? Well, that means, Pastor Joe, that means that he might take us to heaven. Yeah, that's part of it. But the other part of it is that he might deliver us, that we don't have to run like the other rebels are running.
That's right.
That we can run different.
Yep.
That we can live different.
Amen.
That we can walk different.
Yeah.
That we can care different.
Yeah.
That we can serve different.
Yeah.
That we can be different from those that are all in the world. Though we're in the world, we're just not of it anymore. And so that's what he's trying to explain to us. He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. We're going to glorify God. In verse 6, he says, now I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ. To a different grace. To a different gospel. I marvel, he says. I love to do is take a verse that we're going to be reading or thinking about and then look at it in other translations. Look at it in other paraphrases. In Galatians 1:6 in the Amplified Bible, this verse 6 says this, Paul writing, I am astonished. Now watch this next part. And extremely irritated, he says, that you are so quickly shifting your allegiance and deserting Jesus. Isn't that powerful? Yeah, I'm extremely irritated. It's like, you know, my granddaughter saying to you, you're annoying. It's annoying me. Right? And so he says, and desert him. The classic Amplified says it even stronger. He says, I'm surprised and astonished that you are so quickly turning renegade and deserting Jesus. Whoa. The Message Bible, if you don't have a copy of the Message Bible, you need one. The Message Bible says, I can't believe how you waver and how easily you have turned traitor to Jesus. Whoa. And so it's amazing what he's trying to say here. He says, look, I established you in the gospel of grace. That salvation was a free gift. Some guys came in here, they started talking puffy, cool words, and all of a sudden it wasn't the grace of God wasn't quite enough for you. Now you had to actually do something to gain salvation. I am extremely irritated that so quickly you turned rogue and traitor.
Wow.
That'd be my version. So Paul, that's where he begins the book of Galatians. And in every chapter of the book of Galatians, there are at least one or two verses to remind us to stay radiant. There's nothing that can kill your radiance any quicker than legalism. I mean, it's just like putting that big bucket right over the top of you and sitting and all this sticking out of your toes. That's it. That's what it's like. And so Jesus came, he died, he paid the price so that we could be free of that bucket. Just scratch of that bucket so that we could be free.
Yeah.
Free to live by the grace of God. Free to walk in the freedom of Christ. And here's what I found is the deeper that people were in the world, the higher the expression of their freedom. So you look at some people and they say, man, they're pretty fanatical. Yeah, but if I followed you around with a camera, I could find what's fanatical in your life. Yeah, somebody, you know, used to be the Dallas Cowboys. Now none of us are fanatics about them anymore. But you could find something, right? And so it's a reminder from each chapter of Galatians to stay radiant. Here's the first one from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not, here's another thought, I could not be a bondservant for Christ. The first reminder that Paul has for us in the book of Galatians out of chapter 1 is this. Is that we live our lives for the approval of God. Look at me here, just for a second. That's who we live our lives for. Some of you still trying to please your daddy, or your grandfather, or your Uncle Johnny, or whoever it is, you know, your first grade teacher, or you're still trying to figure out, you know, my dad had a high school teacher who told him he would never amount to nothing. He's still beating that every day of the week, right? He remembers that like it was yesterday. Sometimes people say stuff like to you, it's a motivating factor for you. But here's what I'm saying is that you and I, at the end of the day, don't live for our 10th grade English teacher. We live for every breath that breathes from the mouth of God. We live for God, right? When our worship team is up here, I constantly remind them, listen, you need to, as best you can, remember that we are worshiping to an audience of one. Who we want pleased here is God. And we know that if we please God, it'll be pleasing to you. Yeah. And so even in all the upheaval that we've been through in the last year, even with all the stuff that's gone on with COVID-19, racial injustice, with politics and election, all that stuff, at the end of the day, we have to get our direction from what the Bible says. Well, what pleases God? We have to decide we're going to live our life according to what God says and not according to what the world says. We just got to decide that. Because let me tell you something. If you get on any other train except that one, it will not take you to a happy place. Not going to take you to a happy place. So the first reminder from the book of Galatians from chapter 1 comes, we live for the approval of God. The Living Bible in Galatians 1:10 says this. You can see that I'm not trying to please you by sweet talk and flattery. No, I'm trying to please God. And if I were still trying to please men, then I could not be Christ's servants. We want to be people who please God. We want to be people who please God. We live for the approval of God. Number two, here's the second reminder. This one comes from Galatians chapter 2:20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The second idea here is this, that our worth, our value is not determined by our past. We're not defined by our past. Look at me for just a second. The gospel didn't come and just put makeup on you, put a few muscles on you, drop a few pounds off of you, stop you from cussing. That's not what the gospel came to do, to change you up a little bit so you would be more presentable to God. The gospel came to kill you so that the old you would die and the new you would come to life. That's what the gospel is all about, see. The good news is that we don't have to worry about any of the stuff that happened in the past. Why? Because it's dead and gone, still hanging on the cross. What we need to embrace is the fact that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. And we have been given a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling men with God. And furthermore, you've been made an ambassador for Christ and his kingdom. Yeah, you're different. You're not, listen, it's not the old you made better. It's like going, the other day I went to Home Depot. That's where I buy my washing detergent pods. I wash the clothes in my house. Anybody don't like that, see me after the service. I wash the clothes in my house. I don't like the liquid because it just gets all over everything. I know sometimes you think that's better, but it just doesn't work for me. So I get the pods. Pods are easy because you look in the tub, and if it's like a little bit, there you just put one pod in. If it's like medium, you put two pods in. If it's like coming out at the top, you put three pods in. It's that simple. It doesn't take a big explanation, a cup. Did you guys see how many ounces you got? It doesn't take any of that. But the thing I get confused about is when I go to Home Depot to buy some Tide, there's 10 kind of different Tides there. And I bought two or three different ones. Here's what I've discovered. The pot is the exact same pot. It's the same pot. They got on the outside new and improved, but on the inside ain't nothing changed. And that's what the gospel's about. If you aren't born again, on the inside, nothing has changed. On the outside, you got a new church, new Bible study, new Bible, new stuff, new hair, new friends, new stuff. But on the inside, nothing's changed. The gospel came to transform you on the inside, to change your life on the inside. On the inside. And let me just tell you something. Whatever tide you get, you just need to know this. It all works about the same. Jesus' name. Amen. We're not defined by our past. Number three, our worth is in Christ and Christ alone. In Galatians chapter 3, 27 and 28, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is what I've been trying to say about the whole thing with the racial injustice, is that when you come to Christ, we're one. So that means you're welcome here, you're needed here, you're valued here, and we're doing this together. If one of us is hurting, all of us is hurting. At the same time, if one of us is celebrating, we're all celebrating. Why? Because we are one together. You can't separate me from you. We're all in this thing together. That's why communion is so awesome. When you start communion, I'll put the glass on just about a minute. I'm going to start reading again. When you start with communion, you have the elements that are separated from you. You're here. The elements are right there. When I talk about the elements, I'm talking about the bread and the cup, right? They're there. You're here. But what happens when you celebrate the co-union that we have with Christ is that we ingest, like we eat, the elements. And once they go down the gullet, thou canst not separate them from me. Right? That's how unity in Christ is. We're in Him. And once we go down into being born again and being raised from the dead, we can't separate us from Him. We're in there together. We're in there together. And so your value is not determined by how many scriptures you've memorized, how many Bible studies you've been to, how many times you've read through the Bible, how many good works and good deeds you've done today. That doesn't determine your value. Those are all great things. Has nothing to do with your value. See, the value of something is what someone is willing to pay for it. Right? I mean, you see these great works of art. They got about $100 worth of paint and about $100 worth of canvas. So they're really only worth about $200 if you're going to give them back the expenses. But depending on who signed it, makes a difference. Who did it? I saw Winston Churchill had a painting this past week that sold. I think it sold for $12 million. The guy who bought it said he wasn't particularly enamored by the subject matter or the quality of the painting. But he's extremely, extremely impressed by the circumstances and the time by which it was painted and who painted it. Why? Because when he was at Yalta, the President of the United States, President Roosevelt, looked at the beautiful sunset and remarked to Churchill of how beautiful a sunset. This is in 1943. War wasn't over till 1945. And as he remarked how beautiful it was, it stuck in Churchill's head. So Churchill went home in the midst of some of the most violent fighting in World War II and painted a picture of that sunset and sent it to the President of the United States. 60 years later, 70 years later, sells for $12 million. Your worth is not determined by how much paint skin. Listen, you're about 98% water.
Yeah.
Some of you got more water than that, but most of you, some of us got a lot of water. Okay? But when you melt all that down, it's not a bunch there.
Right?
Right? Some trace elements, some stuff, calcium, stuff like that. You're not worth a whole lot. But God thought you were so valuable that he was willing to sacrifice himself for you. That's pretty powerful. Your worth is not determined by your past. Your worth is determined by what somebody is willing to pay for you. And Jesus paid for you with his life. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So our worth is in Christ and Christ alone. Number four, we are children of God. Now remember, what he's reminding us here is that we need to be radiant. We need to keep shining. And so here's the reminder, we're children of God, Galatians 4:7. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. Other versions say, but a child. And if a child, then you're an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That means that you've been translated from the workroom into the boardroom. Yeah. Yeah, you used to be down with all the other guys sending the mail. Nothing wrong with being in the mailroom. Everybody's got to start somewhere. But Jesus, in one swoop, moved you from there to the table of God. Yeah. Amen. Right to the table of God. Why? Not because you were a good employee, not because you were a good servant, not because you were an exemplary slave. No, none of that. He moved you there because you're a son, because you're a daughter. And you're a rightful heir to everything that he has. You have an undivided share in all of that. So everything that belongs to God now belongs to you. That's an unbelievable thing. Because there's some things that belong to God that you can't buy. Like eternal life. You can't buy that. Like peace. Listen, people try every way in the world to buy peace. You can't buy that. Only God can give that to you, right? And so peace. The sense and the feeling of a destiny, of a purpose, of a plan. You can't buy that kind of thing. God, he gives it to you. And listen, the Bible says it is his good pleasure to give you his entire kingdom. That's what he wants to do. And so what do you think? What's he waiting on? I'm ready. Hit me, baby. He brought you a tutor.
Right.
You need to grow up a little bit. Because he brought you this tutor so that you could grow up a little bit, so that you would think that it's not about you. It's about him. And when you get to the place where you understand it's about him, then he can sock it to you, baby. We're children of God. Number five, we are people who are led by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:24-25 says, and those who are Christ's, that's us, we've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's past tense. Remember when I talked about that tutor? If that's not past tense for you, you're still under a tutor. All right, and so it says, in those who are Christ, we've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If therefore we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. We're people who are led by the Spirit of God. There, the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, there is there now. Now there is there no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, a lot of people love that part. I don't have to live under condemnation. That's true. You don't. But there's another little sense that says this. For those who are led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So now, in this moment, and right in this second, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live, walk, and operate by the Holy Spirit. Right? Why? Why is that? He said, because when we're living, operating, and walking in the Holy Spirit, we're living, operating, and walking like God on the planet. And so when we walk into, we're not God, But when we walk into a place where darkness and chaos rules and reigns, we're bringing God's presence in there. Why? Because we are people who are led by the Spirit of God. And so if you want to remain radiant, then what you got to do is crucify those earthly desires, those earthly fleshly pleasures. Lay all that stuff down, because there's something more exciting, more fulfilling, and better and cooler than what all that stuff will bring you. And what is that? That is that you walk every day with God. You just walk with Him. People say, oh, with the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like the third part. He's like the third person of the Godhead. Listen, He may be the third person, but He's just as much God as the Father is, just as much God as the Son is. And so when you got the Holy Spirit, you got God. Yeah. So you want to be radiant? You want to shine? Then be led by the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit of God. Live in the Spirit of God. Because that is what God created you to do. He didn't come here to birth you in a new birth and just leave you alone. But most of us in Western Christianity think that's what it's all about. Well, I'm born again now, so all I have to do is just wait my turn to get to heaven. Then a little persecution comes, and we want to hide under the table. We'll hide under the table. Hope nobody sees that I'm a Christian. Let me tell you something. You start hiding under the table, you're going to find, you know what's under the table? That's where the rats and the mice are. So come out from under the table. Come out from under the table. Start living like a Christian. You are a Christian. Start being one. He led by the Spirit of God, right? Now, how are you going to do that? By crucifying the earthly passions. By crucifying. What does that mean? All that sin that you know you're doing, stop doing it. Boy, you get a rousing applause from that, don't you? Thought, well, Pastor, I thought it was more spiritual than that. No, it's not more spiritual than that. It's very simple. If you know you are sinning against God, stop doing it. If you keep doing it, you will not get the result that you want. And you will not shine. So if you're lying, stop lying. If you're cheating, stop cheating. If you're fornicating, stop fornicating. Right. Is that simple? It's easy. Right? It's easy to say, it's harder to do, all right? But we're going, we're people who are led by the Spirit of God. And number six, finally, we don't grow weary in doing good. In Galatians chapter 6, let us not grow weary while doing good. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Yeah, don't grow weary in doing good. Sometimes we get weary in doing good because we see the wicked prosper. People who are not doing good, but they're prospering. But just believe me, that is just for a short sliver of time. And we got to have a different kind of view, right? A different kind of view. Here's one of the things I figured out over the last year. One sermon is not going to change every heart. But over a generation of serving, everyone's heart can be changed. Yeah, everybody's heart. Over a generation of sermons, everybody's heart can. So what am I trying to do? I get up here every Sunday, if I'm here, if I'm the one preaching, I get this big old sledgehammer. It's called the Word of God. And all I do is I start chipping on that rock. Chipping on that rock. You see, I've said six things today about how to keep your light shining. Here's my hope, that one of them stuck to you. And I'm chipping. And I'm chipping. And I'm chipping. Now come back next week, and I'll chip some more. I'll keep chipping. I'll keep chipping away. And then one of these days, we're going to look up and see that Christ has been formed in you. Yeah, and that you're ready. And ready for what? So He can sock the kingdom to you, baby. Right? He can sock it to you. Let's all stand together. Come on. Let's all stand together. Blessed are the brief, for people will come back. Keep shining. Number one, live for the approval of God. Number two, you're not defined by your past. Number three, your worth is in Christ and Christ alone. Number four, you are a child of God. Number five, You are led by the Spirit. And number six, not one person in here gets weary in doing good, because we know that in due time, hey, we'll get rewarded. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Is there anybody in here who can play this? Well, come on up here. Come on up here and play this. Yeah, okay. All right, fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Naomi. Fantastic. Yeah, I tricked everybody. I finished 10 minutes early. Let's take this just a minute or two. Let's close your eyes. I'm going to say something here that some of you may not know what this means, and I want you just to get with God. Now, what that means is the best you can to clear your mind and your heart and open yourself to God speaking to you. And I had in my mind's eye today a picture of all of us standing at attention. It was like an army that had been outfitted, ready to go. And we were all standing at attention. But the funny thing about it was in the pitch black, in the dark of night. And the commander of all of us came, and he took a flashlight, and he began to make a roll call. And every time he called a name, the light would move to the person he called. It moved. Chris, moved to Chris. Matthew, moved to Matthew. Brian, move over to Brian. Nancy, moved to Nancy. Naomi, moved to Naomi. And the light would shine on us. And the light would reveal our readiness. Our readiness for the next order that God has for us. And I want us to take this moment, every eye closed, every head bowed, to just imagine the light of God's Spirit coming upon us and see if there's anything there that's going to keep us from walking with God. Anything there, any unconfessed sin. Any behavior. God just wants to put his finger on it, put his hand on it. Why? So you'd be ready. You'd be ready for the next move of God. You'd be ready for the next order from heaven. You'd be ready for the next word from God. That you'd be ready. And so if there's anything that's keeping you from the presence of God, anything that's key, anything that God revealed with that light, and you want to get rid of it, then I want you to just raise your hand in the air. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just asking you. If there's something there that God has revealed that you want to get rid of, just raise your hand quickly. Raise both. Actually, put both hands in the air. Yeah, all over this room. Something that God's revealed to you. Now, I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender this to you. Lord, I surrender my selfishness, my immaturity. Lord, I surrender to you my activities. And I surrender to you my behaviors. Because the motive of my heart is to please and honor you. Because I serve for an audience of one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, here's the word for you. Ready? Get ready. Get ready. God's about to speak to you. God's about to show you something. God's about to break through in some of your lives. God's about to bring healing in some of you. God is about to bring promotion to some of you. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Amen. Amen. Amen.